I can feel him, and his heart is racing 100 mile an hour. I don't want this. I don't want to be part of it. And the guy goes, too late. That Sunday, he didn't come home.
What happened? They said he jumped out of the car and they can't find him.
It means everything to me. Let someone know you're out there. Let us know you're safe.
There's so many different stories from there. I don't know what's true and what's not true.
Zach was last seen wearing a faded blue singlet, dark blue board shorts.
Do you need help? Like, are you okay? Where are you?
I'm not going to get hurt, but my friend will. Was he trying to help somebody?
And then just in my gut, just everything dropped out. Like, you know, about to start bursting in tears. Even then, my head was like, nah, can't be.
Mom, get to the police station now. Get there now. I believe that somebody has hurt Zach. You've been here. What have you done? What have you found? You've been out here with the dogs. And they're like, no, we haven't. And I said, well, someone's been here. I feel him, I smell him, and I dream about him. Zach's the first thing I think of in the morning when I wake up, and he's the last thing I think of at night. For him to disappear without a trace, how does that happen?
Every year in Australia, over 38,000 missing persons reports are submitted to police. A long-term missing person is someone who's been missing for more than 3 months. In Australia, there's over 2,600 of them. Zach Barnes has now been missing for 3 years. From the Missing Persons Podcast Network, what happened to Zach?
So we've just leaving Newcastle Airport. Newcastle's a couple of hours away from Sydney to the north. So this area, Newcastle, is like a regional town in Australia. It's the sort of town where you have to sort of get off the plane onto the tarmac. And it's also where you'll find the international airport and the domestic airport are actually the same terminal. So it's a pretty small town. We're heading to Medford, which has about 5,000 people that live in it. It's a suburb of an area called Maitland, which has just over 70,000 people.
Turn right onto Kindler Way.
It's about 30 minutes away. That's where Karen lives now and where Karen lived when Zach went missing.
Use any lane to turn left onto Pacific Highway A1.
So the Pacific Highway is the main road that takes you from Newcastle to Sydney. So we're just going past an exit on the motorway for a place called Thornton, which is actually the place where Zach was reported to jump out of a car and run off and was never seen again at 8 o'clock on a Sunday night.
Your destination is on the left.
Well, here we are. We're at Karen's house. We're just going to go in, introduce ourselves and have a chat. She's waving at the front door, so here we are.
Hello, hello. You're really well, thanks.
Good to meet you. I'm Jay.
Hey, Jay.
We went and got some biscuits. I'll just grab my bag.
I'll put the kettle on.
Yeah, okay, great.
Out the front of the house, a new deck's being built by Mick, Karen's husband, who's Zach's stepdad. As we enter the house, the hallway looks really familiar. I realise it's the backdrop to the missing persons image of Zach, that's been plastered on notice boards and websites since 2016.
I'll just have white with none, thank you. Actually, white with one.
Karen makes us a coffee in her kitchen while I stand at the breakfast bar making small talk. Looks like you've had a bit of rain, I say. Sounds like a stupid thing to talk about when her son's been missing for 3 years. We continue the small talk, but really, I want to get a picture of family life in this home.
How long have you lived out this way for?
We've been here about 12, because I was a single mum for a long time. So very close with the four boys.
Yep.
And then we met Mick, and then, so we've become a united family from then, and Mick stepped in as the boy's dad because their dad was out of the picture.
Yep.
And, then we had two more girls.
So, wow. Fantastic.
So it was like, if you want me, four boys, there's no more kids.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, no worries, because he didn't have any. And then, as soon as he put the ring on, there was a little accident. So I cried.
Yep.
He shouted to the world.
Yeah. And so that was six kids living in this house for a period of time. And how many still live here?
At the moment, only two, the two little girls. Come and say hello.
Hi, I'm Jay.
And this is Michaela.
How old are you?
11.
Okay, and you're?
10.
Oh, and this is Cody.
Cody!
Cody is Zach's older brother. At the time of Zach's disappearance, Cody was 21 and Zach had just celebrated his 18th birthday. Cody walks in the front door and is instantly jumped on by his little sisters. It's the sort of embrace that only happens in a loving family. He has no shoes on and has come from a hard day of work as a brickie, doing the same job Zach was doing in 2016. The love for his family is evident in how he is with his sisters and how he interacts with his mum, Karen. While Karen and I chat about Cody's work, he cleans his feet in the bath and goes to the fridge for the end of the day VB, a strong connection to Zach that we'll find out about later. Karen and I sit on the couch with our cuppas and some bickies and start to chat. Cody's nearby and the two girls are in another room watching a movie, while outside some light rain is falling and the birds are chirping.
So early family life in the household, I was a single mum for a long time and we had four boys, so Zach was number three out of the four. And life was busy, life was loud, and he was always the little character. Out of all four of them, Zach would probably be, as a toddler or a small child, be the one latched to my leg. And the sort of the protective one, but sort of the closest to me. He liked things to be orderly. He had a very strong will, and I often used to joke with Zach that I have to do the hard yards now to shape him to be the man I want him to be, because when he gets a teenager, life's going to be crazy if I don't. And what I mean by that is, if Zach was having a bad day and throwing a tantrum like a 2 or 3 year old would, Zach would give in when he wanted to give in. Not when I wanted to. So he could be in a temper tantrum and I would send him to his bed to go to have a little nap. And most children would wake up totally refreshed, but not Zach. He would wake up and he'd still be in the same mood if it wasn't sorted before he actually went to sleep. So, yeah, he was always a handful to manage. But, yeah, no, I wouldn't change it for the world.
Yeah, man, it was wild when we were younger, for sure. Bloody four young boys in the house together, single mum, so he used to run a hell of a mark.
Well, his big brothers adored him, so he was involved in all of their play, and he just was like a little brother following his big brothers everywhere, and it was lots of fun. I remember one day I was looking out of my kitchen window and we had a big Hills Hoist clothesline.
Oh, yeah, we bloody took all the trucks off our skateboards and that, got them on the top of the old clotheslines. We had Zach and, I think, the youngest brother, he bloody down the bottom of ropes tied to him, just sprinting circles to get me and Jared a bit of a surf on the clothesline.
And they were laughing and giggling and all I could think of was, I'm going to be at the hospital any minute.
Closest human I'll ever be with in my entire life, I know that, you know what I mean? It was that sort of relationship. I knew that then.
Their dad was my childhood sweetheart and, you know, as you think life's going to be perfect and forever, but he took a different path to us and drugs were involved in that and I didn't want that for myself or the boys, so we left that environment and they were disappointed. Even though he went down a different path, I never wanted to hold their dad back from them. I wanted them to make the decision in the long term, and Zach did. He chose not to have anything to do with him. Zach was only a little boy, so it was quite turbulent in the early years, so there was certainly rejection from him, and I guess that's why Mick was welcomed so greatly later in the years, because he was a strong character that he wanted to follow. Mick and I sort of met and was thinking, oh, yeah, he's a keeper. And we sort of caught it for about 3 months before we introduced him to the kids. So we decided to have a family date. Oh, my God. It was the date from hell. I thought Mick would run 100 miles away. No, we went to McDonald's, you know, have that gym. I think Zach was seven. Zach climbed to the top. He was like the kid. And Mick's like, oh, my God, is this mother going to tell that kid not to do that? And he was not listening at all. We went to the movies. He wouldn't even sit with us. He sat rows down the back and he was really testing Mick because, you know, like his dad had left us, so I'm not letting you into my life if I know that you're going to leave again, sort of thing. And and he wouldn't have anything to do with him. And then we're driving home, we're in the car. Oh my God, this child said words I didn't even know he knew. It's like, are you F and C, you know, like so explicit. And again, like Mick and I are just sitting in the car, like so quiet. I'm thinking, he's never coming back. And like, he's thinking, oh my God, how does this kid even know these words? Anyway, he dropped us off and then he left. And I'm like, you bloody little shit, you know, he was a good one. You've scared him. He's never coming back. And he's like, I'm quite proud of myself. And we came back to my surprise. And then so he started hanging around again and Zach goes, so how come Mick comes here and we don't go to his house? Like, what's he hiding, you know? Seven, mind you. And so I rang Mick. I said, oh, Zach wants to see where you live. So he goes, yeah, sure. So he came. Zach walked straight in and he goes, really nice house. What do you do for a job? And then after, you know, when he realised Mick wasn't going anywhere, they become best of buds. So
Zach, yeah, the protector.
Yeah, very much protector of his mum. Zach was really influenced by the friends he had. So if he was in the bad crew, he was the leader of the bad crew. And if he was the best, well, then he did well. He would always tell you about every proud moment and how everyone loved him. And the thing was, it was pretty much true. So, yeah, he was not shy to tell someone how great he was. He was a little bit vain. He was never shy of attention from the girls and compliments. And again, he knew it. His little sisters are quite funny. One of the songs they remember Zach by even now is Megan Trainor. If you were me, you'd want to be me too, or something. And it talks about how gorgeous and how cool he is. And they often sing that and go, that's so Zach. He had a lot of friends in a lot of different circles. It was quite amazing. He could gel with anybody. He wasn't afraid to stand up for someone who was being bullied. you know, so he would intercede and they would become his friend, and he'd make a circle around that. I think he was about 18. He was coming back from TAFE and they called into this pub at Waratah, and he was just, you know, would walk in with his shoulders back and very confident young man, and he seen this elderly gentleman sitting at the bar, and there was another guy in his 40s, and they were sort of having a very assertive conversation, and Zach walked straight up to the guy and said, "Hey, leave my grandfather alone," and interceded and tried to protect, and they both cracked up laughing, and they said, "Oh, this is actually my my nephew," but then they had a bit of a laugh and said, "Well, thanks for sticking up for him," and they'd had a beer. And he would go sit with the old chaps and listen to their stories. And
that story of kindness is something that just happened to us as we arrived today. We thought we'd go and get some biscuits from the local bakery down at Metford.
So I just went to get some biscuits and some cake at the bakery in Metford. And the young girl that served me was, I don't know, 20, 21. And so I just asked the question, "Did you know Zach Barnes?" And she looked at me. Actually, with really sad eyes. I went, "Yeah, I did." And I said, "How'd you know him?" And she said, "Oh, we went to the same high school, and I fainted once at high school, and he helped me until the teachers came." She didn't know him that well, but she knew him enough to know that he was a pretty kind boy.
Another time, Zach, you know, he will stand up to authority if it's right. His little brother was at high school. He was in about year 7. And this big a kid in year 9 was a bully and had picked on Liam in the library and actually sort of got him to the point where he was choking, and it was quite a severe situation. And Liam was suspended and the other boy was suspended, but nothing seemed to be done about it. And Zach didn't think that was the right thing to do. He didn't think that the school had punished this boy enough. So he just went up and sorted it out himself.
Wow.
And hence to say, Liam was never bullied again. He loved the beach. You know, boogie boarding was one of his favourite things. Yeah, just generally hanging out with his mates and playing rugby league.
So then he was a Newcastle Knights fan, was he?
No, much to most people's dismay. Zach was an avid Storm supporter, and he was not afraid to let anyone know.
So was there a connection to Melbourne in any way for Zach?
Like many 18-year-olds, you know, the beer to drink is Victorian bitter. You know, everywhere he went, he would be, you know, drink one, whether it was out of a work boot or sculling it to compete, you know, in a drinking competition. And he loved it so much, much to my dismay, he went out and got a tattoo. And he's got the Victorian beer label on the back of his right calf muscle. And I nearly had a heart attack when I seen it, because, of course, he didn't tell me he was doing it. And, yeah, he wore it very proud. So, and actually now today that's one of his identifying marks. As he sort of headed towards 17, 18, he started to create his own bit of a look, and it was sort of down the hippie, trendy sort of line. He grew his hair out to have dreadlocks, you know, and he liked to be bright and different. So, yeah, I often used to look at his hair and go, "Can I just cut that off?"
So the photo that is on the missing persons bureau and with the police, the one that's sort of everywhere, and I've got a copy of it here just to show you this one, which is the clean cut Zach, I guess.
Yep.
When was that taken?
That was taken about 3 weeks before he disappeared. He was a bricklayer for work, so his hair would always be full of concrete dust and it was getting quite long and it was starting to get hot. And it was like weeks leading up to that, he'd say, "Mum, can you help me cut my dreadlocks or, you know, comb them out?" It was hilarious because if he didn't want to just cut it all and have a crew cut. So we would sit there an hour at a time combing one dreadlock. out at a time. And then he showed me a hairstyle and he said, Mum, this is the haircut I want. And we went together and he got that nice haircut. And I was so in awe. He looked so handsome. Once he had that nice cut, I was like, oh, I'm paying for the haircut, Zach. And, yeah, it was such a funny moment. And he's sitting in the car and he's doing these selfies. And I think everyone on Snapchat would have got a photo of him. Like, yeah, it was... That's the last haircut he had, yeah. And as he sort of went from 17 to mid-18, he started to get very social and, you know, it was lots of parties, and he was a young man then. He was earning his own income and had lots of friends, and we rarely seen him on the weekend. Pretty much we would only see him to get changed or shower or feed if he was home. I used to encourage him that if he was out with his friends and they were having a great time and they were drinking, not to try and get home if he didn't have to. Like I was pretty protective. Like I didn't want him getting in a car with drunken kids and things like that. So it wasn't unusual that I wouldn't see him at all over the weekend. But like clockwork, every Sunday he would walk through the front door. And about lunchtime, and he would be starving or hungover or need a change of clothes and needed recovery time after having such a fun time with his friends, ready for work on the Monday. And that was one of the things that triggered looking for him, because that Sunday he didn't come home.
In the next episode...
What happened? They said he jumped out of the car and they can't find him.
I don't understand how we went from not knowing where he was all weekend to be able to locate him within an hour to then never be able to locate him again.
You mean everything to me?
There's so many different stories from there. I don't know what's true and what's not true.
In my gut, just everything dropped out, like... And I'm about to start bursting in tears. Even Amy here was like, nah, it can't be.
Mom, get to the police station now. Get there now.
What happened to Zach? If you have information that could help police, call Crime Stoppers on 1-800-333-000. A Missing Persons Podcast Network production. Produced by Mark Hales. Sound design by Tiffany Dimmack. Hosted by Jay Walkerton.